nigh without terrible results. Jesus Christ has a claim over my life. He bought me. Sometimes I go in the store and buy something and start to walk out without the thing I bought. Getting pretty bad when you get to that stage. And they have to say, here's your parcel. And I say, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't want it. Why, they would phone for the psychiatrist. No, I say, oh, thank you. Jesus bought me, and he bought me for himself. He bought me for himself. He bought me for his own enjoyment. That's the only reason I've got for existing today, is to please my God who created me and redeemed me. He goes on to say, the Lord does in this beautiful message, he says, I would take care of many of the other things that you think you have to take care of. Your life is rather fruitless in many different ways, and I want you to seek me. I would take control of things. I do marvelous things, miraculous things for those who make seeking the preeminent thing of their life. Beloved, this morning, if my great longing is to know my God, then I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to seek Him. You know, that would get rid of all the fanaticism, all the selfishness. When we make prayer a seeking God, a finding God, somehow it takes you right out of yourself. It makes God important. I would do that for you if you would make seeking for me the preeminent thing in your life. I would do miracles for you. Oh, I would do wonderful things for you. And no one loves me very well unless they know me very well. Obedience will be so easy, and I will have my lover, and oh, my heart will be satisfied. And little do you think of satisfying my great heart with love. And you ask me to help you into a little of holiness, and all the time I want my lover. I want your love. Who will want to do my will because he loves me so much? Who will hear my word? So many things go on in the mind, and one thing is needful, that you seek for me until you find me in my fullness. Who among you would make seeking preeminent in his life? I will come down to you in power and in authority if you will do it. Now there's the cry of God in that message for the hearts of his people. Oh, this gets you out of that self-centeredness to love Jesus and to know him. And he says, this is life eternal, that you know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And in looking over these prayers of Paul, I notice that that's exactly what he asks God for. For instance, in the first chapter of the Ephesian letter, he prays this prayer. Verse 15, Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after that I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now here is a church. The Ephesian church, we understand, was one of the most successful, the most spiritual, the most fruitful church that Paul had at this stage when he wrote the letter. When Jesus wrote a letter to this same Ephesian church later on in the book of Revelation, things were not quite so good, were they? He said, you've left your first love. Why? Because they had lost contact. They'd got so wrapped up in their church and their works and their orthodoxy and all the things they were doing that they lost their contact with their divine lover. What does Paul say in this prayer? First of all, he says, wherefore? Wherefore? Well, that looks back, of course, to the previous verses. In those previous verses, you get the magnificent plan of salvation laid out from the standpoint of Father, verses 3 to 6, Son, verses 7 to 12, and Holy Spirit, 13 and 14. There's the Trinity operating in this great salvation. And then he prays. He says, after I heard of your faith and your love, your faith toward the Lord Jesus, and this chapter was in her life. Now that's how God's kingdom is going to come. It isn't going to come by a lot of organization and a lot of preaching only. It's going to come by individual Christians getting the will of God done in their lives. And how can you get His will done unless you know what it is? And how can you know what it is unless you read the Bible? And that's why the devil tries to keep us away from the Bible and prayer, and he's got us exactly where he wants us. And he laughs at our childish ignorance. Now, I believe in getting happy, and I do, and I believe in dancing in the Spirit, and I do, and I believe in shouting, and I do, and I believe in laughing in the Spirit, and I do, and I believe in talking in tongues, and I do, and I also believe in obeying God, and I'm working on that one. I do too, but oh, I find my flesh doesn't want the will of God. But I find this Bible is powerful, and I find when I get alone with God and really mean business, and when I got face to face with that verse, let love be without dissimulation, and I just said, God, I can't go to bed until I do something about this verse, and I didn't. Sometimes it keeps you up later, night or early in the morning, but beloved, God's Word is powerful. This Word of God is living and powerful. And I need to open myself to it. And when Jesus came, His whole prayer life was, Thy will be done in earth. Not my will, but Thine be done. That's what this world needs. It doesn't need, it's had a League of Nations, and it's got a disunited nations, and all. They can have all the other organizations they want. Beloved, this world never can get what it wants. Sociology isn't going to do it, and psychiatry isn't going to do it, and the American Medical Association isn't going to do it, and we've got in our grasp what it's going to do, but we won't work at it. The thing this world needs is the will of God. And Jesus came into this world as a human personality, and He built into one personality, He built the kingdom of God into His personality by a ceaseless dependence upon God and a ceaseless yielding of His will to God and a constant doing of the will of God, even if it cost Him death, as it did. He built. Now, you know, if you're a farmer, that if you want to get a harvest of a certain kind, you got to get a seed. With everything in the seed, you got to get one specimen. And when you get one specimen with everything in it, it may take years to develop that specimen, but when you get it, you can have all you want of that thing. You've built it into one specimen. God, in Jesus Christ, got one specimen of true manhood. And now Jesus wants to communicate to me that manhood. He wants to communicate to me that kingdom. Why, He was the kingdom Himself. There was the will of God. And how was it done? It was done by ceaseless prayer. He fed 5,000 one day, and they said, say, this is the fellow we want for king. He'll give us free meals. Let's make him king. And they got the disciples. They said, everybody's enthusiastic. Let's get this thing started now. We'll get deliverance from Rome. And when Jesus heard it, He got those disciples off. He said, get in a boat. I'll meet you around the lake somewhere. And He got the crowd and He says, go, dismiss. And what did he do? He got up that mountain. And there he got down and said, God, I will not have anything but your will. He prayed away past midnight, away into the early morning hours, until finally the victory came, and he knew that his will was submissive to God. He wasn't going to be king in any other way than by that cross. Oh, dear friends, this morning, have we accepted the cross of Jesus, which is the only success, the only means of victory for this world? Have we accepted that cross in our own lives? That cross means love envieth not. That cross means that you don't envy, that you're not unkind. It means you have love for everyone. It means that you've got everything that's in this chapter. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It's not puffed up. It doesn't seek its own. It doesn't want its own rights or its own ways. It's not provoked. The word easily is not part of the text. It's not provoked. You ever get provoked? We get provoked. It shows we don't have this love. We don't have the power of this kingdom. That's why the world's dying today. That's why the heathen are dying today, because we Christians won't take enough time to get alone with God and get these things into our lives. Beloved, it's going to take more than sermons. These fellows had to go down to Ecuador and demonstrate in their lives that they had love, a love which even died, was willing to die. And those people for whom those five lives were given up, those people are now getting saved. That tribe is now one for God. The devil is licked. But he was licked by obedience. By Jesus coming into those five magnificent young men's lives. Now listen, you don't have to go to Ecuador. God may not send you down there. But how about Phoenix, Arizona? How about the tent meeting? Are you doing the will of God? You students, in your dormitory life, in your life here on this tent ground, is this kingdom of God going to be manifested today in your words? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Oh, you come to the place where you say, my God, your will is so high, I'll never reach it. And he says, well, here's Jesus. Here is this one specimen in whom every item of God's will has been worked out perfectly. And Jesus says, why not take me? Why not take me? He that hath the Son hath life. Listen, beloved, when I get saved and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I have got potentially within me all the powers of the kingdom of God. It just is waiting to work its way out. But I have to, and some of it I'll learn instinctively. I'll just sense that it's wrong to fly off the handle and blow off steam and blow a fuse, you know. I'll just learn. I'll just know that. My head tells me that. But some things your head doesn't tell you. Some things you got to get from the Holy Ghost in the Word. And beloved, that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for the saints to get in their closet and pray over these obediences to the will of God. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Did you hear that so-and-so, you know that big preacher? Yeah, what did he do? Well, you know, it's like this. And they're so happy to find out a story, you know, where somebody did wrong, because it makes them feel so righteous, because they wouldn't do a thing like that. They're the next one in line for the devil's attack, perhaps. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things. You need this in your home, do you? You wives, in dealing with your husbands, love beareth all things. Or perhaps it's the other way around. Perhaps it's the husband that needs it. Well, I'll tell you, there's a kingdom that Jesus Christ has brought into the world, and it's going to stand on all the other kingdoms of God. And it's trying to work its way out. And this kingdom is not set up by earthly means. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus says. If it were, my servants would fight. My kingdom is not of this world. He said, I came to bear witness unto the truth. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom in which the truth reigns. And it's got to reign in my life. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never fails. Here is something wonderful. Here is the kingdom of God. Not only love, but joy and peace. You got peace, joy, thy kingdom come. Oh, I need to get alone with my Father today, and I need to say, Father, hallowed be thy name. And I know God's name can't be hallowed unless obedience to his will in my life is being wrought out by the Holy Ghost. And beloved, don't be discouraged. Jesus himself is my obedience. So what shall I do? Oh, just get him. Just come close to Jesus. Oh, today take time to sit down at Jesus' feet like Mary and listen to his words. Take time to look up into his wonderful face and say, Jesus, you know better than I do that I'm no good. But you've set your love on me, and I believe you're able to finish what you have begun in me. And I believe that your death on the cross is able to accomplish its work in me. Believe that. Why not believe God? God is able to do all things for spirit, soul, and body. And Paul prays finally in his Thessalonian letter, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can't come because we're not ready for him. And we'll not be ready for him, beloved, until we get into that place of prayer and pray with real meaning for ourselves each day. Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And when we do, God's going to answer that prayer. Shall we stand?